Amen. That was a good scene. Thank you for leading the songs, Joshua. And don't feel bad about not being able to swing your arm around. I can't either. I can direct music or I can sing. I can't do the two together. It throws me for a loop every time. And I've been trying for years, so don't feel bad. Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. I was actually starting on something else for this morning. And you know how sometimes you're reading through a passage and something else sticks out at you. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, we're just going to open with one verse. It's a very, very important topic this morning. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's clear and concise and that it is the words of knowledge. Lord, we learn to grow by it. We learn your will. We learn your person. And we learn the person that you would have us to be. As we open your word today, I pray that your spirit would be among us and that you would bless us to be more conformed to the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. A very short and to the point proverb here, as most of them are. And it touches on or sums up a topic that is very, very much through the scripture, and it's very, very necessary. Kids, this is something that you need to get a hold of right now while you're young, while the way you think about life is being formed. We need to understand, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Solomon here is writing to his son, and he's probably referring to times where David spoke to him and saying, pay attention. There is going to be some instruction in your life, some people who will attempt to instruct you, then the intent of their instruction is going to be to lead you to error, to lead you away from truth, to lead you away from true knowledge, knowledge that's worthwhile, and that we find in the scripture. And to know this, we've got to be aware, right? We talked about discernment a few Wednesday nights ago. Discernment is a necessary thing in our lives. We need to learn how to have discernment, and we need to learn how to put it to use, because there will be instructors. There will be a friend. There will be somebody we looked up to. There will be something we weren't expecting that'll come across our path, and its intent is to lead us away from the path of God. We have that little children's song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love." Right? God's always watching us. But we have a continual choice to make, to be careful what we see and hear, do, and where we go. And it says here that when we see instruction that is taking us away from the scripture, we're to stop, cease, turn from it and pass away. There is much instruction in life that is not healthy. Now, I'd like to read a quote this morning from an old Methodist preacher in the 1600s. Let me get it here. On this on the idea of this passage. I want you to notice, well, before I read that, you will find in your life, if you've not come across it already, many people that say,
Well, to really understand where so-and-so is coming from, or to really understand why this or that thing is bad, you've got to read their side of the story, right? Or you've got to look at their side. That was a real big thing when Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life came out. I had a number of friends that I was pretty close to, and even some people that I looked up to try to tell me that. Well, you can't say Rick Warren's bad unless you've read it. I don't have to read it. Look at the preface and you know he's going in the wrong direction. But you'll find many, many people in your life that'll say, well, for you to understand where they're coming from and how to address that, you've got to expose yourself. He had some family members that growing up, and their idea was, you know, to train their kids to be firm in the truth, they had to put them in public school. They had to expose them to all these different things so that they would know how to, so that they would have a test, that they would know how to combat these things. That's not what the scripture says. It says to cease from instruction that causes to err. Not to sit under that teacher and think, man, that guy's all messed up, but I'm going to sit here and listen to him anyway. That's the opposite of what the Bible says. And I want to show you that that's not a new idea. This Methodist preacher back in the 1600s, Patrick was his first name, and I cannot remember his last name. I didn't write that. I took a screenshot of the quote on my phone and didn't get the name in there, so I apologize for that. Anyway, the idea is not new. He says, popularly, it is said that truth will recommend itself to every man's conscience, and none can be injured by seeing it compared with error. Now, it's the same idea. People today say, well, you know, you go and you sit under somebody else or you read something else and truth will prevail. Well, here's his answer to that. He says, in answer, it may be said, this is founded on a principle which men would not admit in any other case. Think about that. It's very true. If you're trying to learn math, are you going to go to history class to learn math? No. If you're trying to learn the sciences, are you going to let me put it this way. If you're trying to learn the law of physics, okay, you're going to go and listen to a professor on quantum theory? Not likely. And for you kids that don't know, quantum theory is for the science to do with the things that don't quite fit in the law of physics. They're there, some of them. Some of them are a bit of a stretch. But there are some things that don't quite fit in physics. You know, the fact that you drop a ball and it falls to the ground. That's gravity. That's part of the law of physics. But there's some things that don't quite fit in that. And so that fits under what they call quantum theory. Now, if you're trying to learn exactly how the law of physics works, you're not going to start by listening to the guy who's only talking about the things that don't quite fit. Is this argument doesn't fit with anything else, but people want to put it against the Bible. He says, second answer, the objection would be less deceptive if in matters of religion, men were more inclined to truth than to error. There's an excellent point. Religion, faith in God, that's where people are more inclined to listen to ourselves, aren't we? And the Bible tells us that. We're more inclined to go with our nature, our old flesh, than to bow to the will of God more often than not. Another thing he notes is those who promote false doctrine do not state things candidly. They don't tell you the whole story of where they're going right off the bat, do they? They tried to sneak it in there. And again, the Bible tells us this. It says they crept in unawares. They brought in their doctrines privily or sneakily. And it says, with cunningly devised fables. Kids, if somebody says, you read this because the truth in your heart is going to tell you what's right. Not necessarily so. Because there's some people that are really good with words that do not have the truth of God in their hearts, and they don't want it in yours either. Fourthly, he said the antidote to error does not always go along with the error itself. Now, that one's a little bit harder to understand, but basically the idea is this. The way to fix the problem is not always what you see right off the bat. And again, where error creeps in is people have a very superficial fix, something that pleases the natural man. You say, man, that sounds good, that sounds right, I'm going to go for that. But it's not necessarily God's way. It does not address the error itself. Now, this is somebody who wrote against the same idea 400 years ago. And I want you to think for a moment how much the access to knowledge has changed. I mean, back then, they were just starting to write to print books. The printing press hadn't been around that long. Things were written out. And if you wanted a large amount of people to know what you wrote, you tacked it on a door, or you had somebody walking through the streets yelling, "Hear ye, hear ye, this is what so-and-so has to say." And that's how you got your message out. Or you gathered in a public place and, you know, shouted as loud as you could. Now let's think back a little bit. Not very far in the past to, let's say, Pastor Bond's father. Now, in his day, books were available. Maybe not in everybody's house, but books were readily available. If you wanted to know something, you could go find it. But in this country, the bias was still largely Christian, wasn't it? The bias was still largely measured or put up against the scripture. It was an accepted balance. And for Pastor Bond's generation, he has seen the complete shift from people who wanted to learn could to now everybody has the access to anything you want in your pocket. Just ask Google. You know, when I grew up, the internet was just coming out. Kids, can you imagine that? The internet was just coming out. There was nobody even had the slightest idea that someday we'd be carrying a computer in a little 3x6 flat thing that could also work as a phone, that could also work as, you know, sending messages all the way around the world, that could also tell you anything you needed or didn't need to know, that could also be a way you watch movies, a way you play games, you know, pretty much whatever you want. That could also give you the option to video conference with somebody. You know, the idea of video conferencing was just barely coming out when I was a kid. When it was, that was something like the military had that. Excuse me. And it's changed, hasn't it? Now, information, knowledge,
or ideas are available right now. And you've got a lot more to sift through than I did growing up. You've got a lot more to sift through than Brother Mike or Pastor Bond or Brother David had growing up. You've got a lot more to sift through than folks at the turn of the century. Turn of the last century, by the way. You've got a lot more to sift through than this old Methodist preacher, Patrick. And you've got a lot more people who are going to tell you, well, you gotta read my side of the story before you can tell me I'm wrong. And there's a lot more people that are very good with their deceptions. Right now, you have to realize the value of input. How important it is to put the right stuff in your head and in your heart. How important it is to put the right weights on your balance. Your kids are going, what are you talking about? Okay, so long time ago, scales worked like this. You had little blocks that you knew weighed a certain amount. You had a 1 pound block, you had a 1 ounce block, you had so forth. All these blocks that were exact measurements. And you had a scale, you've all seen them at least in pictures. You had a post like this and another post like this and off two ends of this post had little chains with baskets on them. You've seen those? At least a drawing of those? Yeah. And so you put the item, let's say you wanted to weigh, wanted to weigh a chunk of meat. So you put it on one side and it goes like that. Okay. It's hitting the floor, so it must have some weight. So then on this side, you put a 1 pound block, and it goes up like this. And you keep putting weights on there until it's perfectly level. That's how you figured out what this other thing weighed. And so you made it balance. Right now, as kids, you need to learn to have set blocks in the balance of your mind. That you can balance everything else against this is truth, this is real knowledge, this is wisdom. These blocks are what I balance everything else in my life around. Jesus said in John 8:36, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you know the truth will make you free. Make. It has a working functionality to it. The truth of God has a working functionality in your life to make you free, to change the way you think towards eternal freedom. Now there's an illustration I heard many times growing up, and it doesn't work as well today because times have changed, but 30 years ago and earlier, when you went to work for a bank, you know how they taught you to find counterfeit money? Some of you are nodding your head. You've heard this illustration. They would hand you money. Okay, so let's say $100 bills. They'd hand you a $100 bill, and you'd have to feel that $100 bill. And they'd hand you another one, and you'd feel that, and you'd put it aside, and they'd hand you another one. And they'd hand you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and then they'd slip a fake one in. And instantly, by the feel of it, you'd know, oh, well, there's something wrong with this one. Because you just felt 300 good ones. There used to be something in paper quality that couldn't quite be matched. Well, today there's money's changed and counterfeiters have gotten better, so they don't do that anymore. We've got little pens that you scribble on the paper. If you ever go to up to a clerk and you see him spread out all the money and get a little yellow marker and go whoosh, guess what? If they do that and there's a counterfeit bill in there, the mark on that counterfeit bill will turn blue or black. It's still a yellow marker, but on that one bill it'll change color.
Or they'll put it in a little machine. You say, you already counted my money. But they'll put it in a machine that looks like a money counter. And it'll through all the bills real quick. And that machine will go beep if there's one that's fake in there. Because it's reading little really, 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 really tiny barcodes in there. So it's a little bit different. But at the same time, that kind of builds on the old illustration. Back then, it used to be you could... The counterfeits weren't quite as good. I'll just shorten it up. But they're getting better and better and more accessible, aren't they? And that just means we need more, stronger foundation in the Scripture. We need to not necessarily up our technology, but we need to up our involvement with the Scripture so that we can see when the counterfeit comes along. The Bible tells us that the counterfeits, the false teachers, will increase. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, I want you to note, kids and adults, it says here they'll privily bring them in, bring in the damnable heresies. That means it'll be people you didn't suspect it of. That means it'll be people that you trusted, people that everything they said sounded great. But they did it privily, sneaking, cunning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Again, it's somebody that you look at them and think, wow, they're a godly person. And you'll find many people that say, oh, man, I've been reading such and such a teacher, or I've been listening to so and so, and man, they're a godly teacher. You know, well, what about this idea? Because this is what the Bible says. See, we need to understand that there are those many, and it is increasing, that will turn us away from the truth. That's their desire. That's their intent. In verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, a lot of them don't even realize that they're not on the right track. Jesus said there'll be many in that day that say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things I've done in your name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Here it says, deceiving and being deceived. There's a lot of people that will believe their own lies. Or there's a lot of people that will perpetrate a lie because they fell for it. And really, in all honesty, they think it's a good thing. They've got they do not necessarily have ill intent in repeating the matter. They honestly thought it was good. Because their counterfeit checker didn't go beep. Their marker didn't go blue. But that doesn't mean yours shouldn't. All right? That doesn't mean yours shouldn't. Just because somebody you've looked up to starts off after someone else and you're going, man, I didn't think that was quite right. In fact, I seem to remember they kind of taught otherwise just not too long ago. That's your counterfeit checker going beep. Don't turn it off just because they turn theirs off.
Deceiving and being deceived. Matthew chapter 15, in verse 9, again Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching..." sorry, I messed it up. Let's just read it. Matthew 15 and verse 9. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This makes worshiping God useless. Makes it full of hot air. When we take an idea that some person came up with, "Oh, that's a great idea," and we, somewhere along the line, we stop measuring it against the Scripture just because it sounded good, it makes the worship of God of none effect. A lot of hot air. Colossians 2 and verse 8 says we're to beware. Beware of this. To be careful. To be on the lookout. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." A lot of it's going to sound good simply because it came from their natural man and it speaks to your natural man. After the rudiments of the world, the basic ideas of man, the way our brains work. Yeah, some of it's going to click with you. Because as that old Methodist preacher said, in matters of religion, man is prone to go after our own thinking. And we sing that hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Kids, prone means most likely to. I'm more likely to wander. If you give me a choice and I'm not thinking about God at the moment, I'm my man, who I am in my flesh, I'm more likely to wander. That's how we are. Every single one of us. It's no joke or light matter. He says, beware. You ever go up to an electric fence and it's got that sign on it? Bright bolts of electricity, a big red circle with a strike through it. It says, "Don't touch! It's going to hurt!" Somewhere a couple weeks ago, and they had a high-tension fence like that. And it was about an 8-foot-tall fence. And they had a wire, every 6-8 inches, all the way up from the ground, clear up. And excuse me, it was at an auction down in Portland, and they must have turned it off for the day because of all the people there. But there were some people leaning against the fence, so obviously it wasn't on. There were signs on the fence, but even with people leaning against the fence over there, you'd see some guys going over the fence and before they leaned on it, even though somebody over there was leaning on it, because there's that sign there. This fence might have electricity through it. That guy might be wearing some kind of rubber suit or something. When we see the beware sign, don't even bother touching the fence. Because when it comes to spiritual matters, there's some people leaning on it getting zapped full bore. And they might be smiling.
But if to illustrate, the spiritual life is getting zapped out of them. They're being pulled away from the things of God. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Back where we began, Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son. Cease and desist. When we hear words that are that somewhere in our heart we know this idea is taking me away from what I know the Bible says, that means stop. Right there, that's the counterfeit checker going beep. That's the great big sign with red circles crossed out and the lightning bolts and all the rest saying don't touch. Cease, my son, from words that cause you to err from knowledge. I want to read a quote from another old preacher, an old Baptist preacher, John Gill, early 1700s, regarding Proverbs 19:27. The words of knowledge, they are the words of the living God, the scriptures of truth, which communicate knowledge and are profitable for instruction in righteousness. They are the means of the true knowledge of God, that there is one, and that He is possessed of all perfections, particularly that He is gracious and merciful, and pardons all manner of sin, that He is in Christ the God of all grace, that He is the God and Father of Christ, and the covenant God and Father of all His people in Him. They give knowledge of His mind and will concerning the salvation of men, and of His ways in worship. The wholesome words of our Lord Jesus, the doctrines of the gospel, may here be meant. Those words of grace, wisdom, and knowledge which come from Him, and give knowledge of His person, offices, relations, incarnation, and blessings of grace by Him. That's what it's talking about. Exactly, when it says here the words of knowledge. It's not talking about how smart you can get. It's not talking about going to school and getting a bachelor's degree or a PhD or some great doctorate or some all these wonderful things behind your name that says you spent 20 years in school. That might be great. But if your foundation, if the basis of your knowledge is not founded on the word of the eternal God, it's useless. This needs to be the foundation of your life, the filter of your mind, the counterfeit checker of ideas that come along your way. And when it goes beep, turn from it to the other thing and pass away. Don't let it in anymore. Don't say, well, he might have some good things to say about this, or she might be really, oh, she's got all kinds of experience in this matter, or whatever excuse you want to come up with. If it doesn't mesh with the Word of God, it's not worth digging in. Because the Bible has every answer that you ever need. It might not be obvious right off the bat, but that just means study a little more. Dig a little deeper. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, because He is willing to teach you all things regarding Himself. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank You that You desire us to know You. I ask that, especially for these young folks, as they grow and as the world continues to change around us and drift further away from You, that, Lord, these children, as they grow, would place You first in an insurmountable position in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.